Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, it's another episode of Call Him Poppy. This time, do we address you as Ryder Cup champ Justin Thomas? Like, how does this work? Because it's a team thing. It's like kind of like World Series champ. Is it Ryder Cup champ?
Yeah, I guess it could be one of the Ryder Cup champs. Our whole team, we got that one done. Absolutely.
I got him as a bad motherfucker.
He is.
Book.
Yeah. I don't know if you – did you see these clips? So he's out there, like, smashing beer cans. Like, he was basically, like, the spiritual, emotional leader of Team America World Police out there.
Boy, let me tell you, man. This guy, first of all, just to begin with, just so you know, his favorite number is 34.
I saw that.
Just to begin with.
Yeah.
At that age, early age, put it this way, 2017, you won a major. And 2018, number one player in the world, yeah, bro.
Red Sox are the number one team in the world, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. There you go. Justin, tell me about it, man. How do you feel, you know, you accomplished so many things, man, at your age? And I've always been a big fan of golf, but I always think of golf is the type of sport that you get better with age. Seems like. That's the way it seems like it was before. But now, seeing a guy like you and all this young, talented player coming in, whooping ass, this is different preparation or mentality. I mean, talk to me about it.
Yeah, it's I think – like a lot of sports, your window is pretty kind of apparent when it is, but I do feel like golf, you're able to play a little bit longer just because it's, you know, we don't have the contact that football has. And it, although it is a sport that it is hard to obviously play for a long time, but at the same time, when you're young, I think you're hungrier, you know, it's, you may not have the experience or have the, just kind of like the lessons that you've learned and the failures that you're able to learn from. But just coming out of college, I knew that I was hungry and I was ready to go. And I was able to watch some of my buddies that I had beaten in tournaments that were winning PGA Tour events and playing well. And I was like, I know I'm as good as, if not better than this person, and they're winning tournaments. So why can't I, kind of thing. And I think that's what a lot of the young guys are coming out now with, the same mentality that, it's everyone kind of has that killer instinct, and it's hard because I can't obviously relate to the team aspect, but it's like, you know, when you're a killer and you're one of the best players in the majors on a baseball team, you have to show out pretty heavily to be known still as one of the best players in baseball, because you can, if you're on one of the best teams and you're a part of that one or two or three guys on your team, that's really good. Whereas in golf, it's like, if you're dominating, it's pretty apparent, you know, who you are, kind of thing. And people want to come out and they want to be that person. They want to be one of the best players in the world and be winning tournaments and winning majors. And I think that's kind of the mindset that I had when I came out.
So baseball, would you say that baseball is like a sneaky individual sport? Like, it's a team sport, but like your individual performance, like, it's a sneaky individual sport.
Pretty much like golf.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, is it for both of you guys, like, how hard is it or is it easy to be in a team sport where the only thing you really have to worry about is your own individual performance?
I want to hear what Justin had to say about, you know, just winning the championship as a group.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, I love the team aspect. It's fun when you're able to kind of feed off of your teammates and you know, one time a year, to be perfectly honest, I'm actually rooting for these guys. There's a lot of guys that are my friends and I want them to play well if I'm not playing well, but I'd be lying if we weren't coming down the stretch and I wanted them to do better than me. That's the competitive nature. There's there's been definitely times where I've rooted against some of my friends if it's going to benefit me. I think that's very that's a very normal thing to have happen in golf, and to have that one week a year where you're able to just all come together, and the week is bigger than us as individuals. It's just about us going out and playing as a team and really just kind of doing your job. You know, I can't worry about what the other guys on my team are doing. The only thing I can do is go out and try to win my point and win my match for our team. And I think that's something that everybody did really well last week.
That's a good question. In golf, it's more difficult for you to play as a team or individual? Because it seems like as a team, you can be careless for a minute. I mean, not that you mean being careless, but because you know that everybody going to try to bring some to the table, sometimes you probably can get away with a few things. But when you are playing, depending on you or by yourself, mm-hmm. you almost got to be try to be perfect.
Yeah. I think everybody's going to, unfortunately, get complacent at some point over the course of 72 holes, whether it's individual or team. And I think at least that's what I've noticed in really definitely golf, but other sports too, is it's, you know, say Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, you know, when they both have unbelievable games, they're both unbelievable quarterbacks. But when they have their bad games, Patrick Mahomes is so much better than so many other quarterbacks when they aren't playing their best. And I think that's very similar to golf, is it's everybody's good when you get to the top level is really, really good. It's how good is your bad. And I think when you're in that team atmosphere and you have other teammates and other guys on your team, then you don't have to be as perfect and you can get away with it. Whereas when you are playing by yourself, like we do each week, it is important to, you know, not make those stupid mental mistakes and not let stuff snowball and not let stuff get out of hand, because then, you know, that's how you turn a potential good week into a bad week, just from mental errors.
I was watching an interview that you did. It was a podcast where the two dudes were in your house. And then after the interview was over, they said that you had a bunch of trophies in your house. This dude sitting next to me was literally spooning the 2004 World Series trophy in his hotel room last night. What's the most like interesting or
just
fun?
Went on a date.
Yeah, just a little date. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. What's the most interesting story that you have of like celebrating a championship, whether it's team or individual?
Oh man, that's tough. I mean, we had a pretty good time celebrating. This tournament called the Walker Cup. It's basically the amateur version of a Ryder Cup. And we had some pretty fun, pretty good amount of fun celebrating that together. Just, you know, it's always when you have the opportunity to drink out of a trophy and drink out of what you won out of, it's pretty fun. And the PGA Championship, it holds, I think Duff is the one of my buddies who told me it holds like 47 beers or something like that. I'm not quite strong enough. It's already about 40 pounds. So once you put about 6 or 7 beers in it, I'm not quite strong enough to lift much more heavier than that. But it's, I've had some good times, but I would say the best moments have just been kind of sharing those moments with my friends. Like I'm still really, really close with my high school, with like a close group of high school buddies. So taking the trophy back home to them, taking it to my college town in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and getting able to kind of share those moments with them was pretty special. I haven't spooned any of my trophies, but I also maybe I haven't won enough yet, like Big Poppy.
Hey, Justin, look, man. Whoever win, get to enjoy. You can do whatever the fuck you want after you whoop everybody's ass.
Right.
So take me through your fun Sunday after you guys won it all, what you guys were at and what you guys were fucking drinking. Tell me about it, because when I win a World Series, bro, I walk around the city almost naked.
It's a whatever you can get your hands on kind of situation, I'm sure. And I don't drink champagne, but man, I drink champagne like it's the only thing I could ever drink for a while. And you know, getting to do that with the team, popping bottles on the stage and spraying it all over each other, spraying it on the captains. And, you know, then you get back and, you take some beers to the press conference and everybody has their drink, whether it's tequila or vodka or beer or whatever it is. And, it's, and then you start putting beers in the trophies, and it's just, you're running on so much adrenaline and you're on such a high, you almost don't even realize it. And it actually was kind of like end of the day yesterday, this morning, when I feel like it's kind of just starting to hit me of like all the adrenaline starting to wear off. And I'm just like, man, I'm pretty, pretty tired, pretty out of it. And, but it's like you said, you know, those moments you don't get to have all that often. So when you get them, it is important to celebrate, because it's, you know, some of the most fun moments of your life for sure.
On a serious note, how does it feel? Because I'm telling you, man, like, I have so many friends that they has transferred themselves from being a really good baseball player to being an average golf player. And they are doing really good. Like John Small, he's a really pretty good
Wake.
Golf player. Wakefield. Mm-hmm. And I can continue mentioning a lot of it. Yeah. But when it comes down to a guy like you, how does it feel to be the number one in the world best golf player?
I mean, it's cool. And I do like that aspect of for us having the true individual world rankings, because I haven't held the number one ranking as long as I'd like, but I mean, I know I have a lot of golf left to try to achieve that. But when you do have it, I mean, just knowing that there literally isn't a person on planet Earth that can say that they're a better golfer than you. And if they try to argue with you, you got a website that tells them that exact thing, and they don't really have much to say when they look and your name is at the top of that list. So
there's no argument.
It's a really cool feeling. And a lot of us are so competitive, and that's what we play for. We want to be known as the greatest to be playing, because it is an honor. But man, there's a lot of people out here that obviously want to achieve that same thing. So we're all working toward it, and there's a lot of really good players out there that are willing to make sure the other guys don't get it.
Poppy, the off season's coming up, and you know how like people put on weight in the off season? Like I put it on during baseball season, because I'm upstairs, I'm watching the games on my TV, I'm eating all kinds of stuff. I'm kind of fluffy right now.
You don't look fluffy.
I'm pretty fluffy.
If you say so.
I know. I need to lose some weight. So I think what we're going to do, Nutrisystem for Men, it's the perfect way. I don't need to lose anything crazy like 30 pounds in 90 days, but you can do that with Nutrisystem for Men. You can
30
also
pounds,
30
bro?
Pounds in 90 days. I don't need to lose that much.
How
but you
does
can.
Possible happen? I mean, you know how many people are out there trying to lose 30 pounds?
That's what I'm saying. So
in how
I mean,
many days?
In 90 days.
That's yeah. crazy.
Nutrisystem.com/BigPoppy50. That gets you 50% off for 2 months
wait,
shipping.
50%.
50% off. Half.
Get your shit.
Half.
Please.
50% off. 2 months plus free shipping.
Damn. 50% off. That's almost free.
That's almost free.
But Justin, in baseball, you know, they had a rank in the big league, amount of, let's say they go 10, top 10 players. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's not, they probably can go from 1 to 10, but every single one having a specialty. You know what I'm saying? Like you can be 1, like you can be 10, and it don't matter. You are ranking the top 10 best player.
Yeah.
But in golf, it's different. When you are number one, you are number one.
Yeah.
What is the pressure behind this whole number thing?
That's a good question. I think, I mean, the first time I got it, it definitely was a learning experience, because, there's a lot that comes with it. I mean, you are expected. It's almost like they say that on the telecast before your name. It's like, you know, world number one, Justin Thomas, or world number one, John Rahm. And it is a title that you have. And, but again, it's just a part of it. I mean, if you can't, I mean, I learned from it the first time when I had it of how to handle it. And I feel like I didn't handle it very well, because I was so worried about how I was playing, because I wanted to hold my number one ranking or whatever, as opposed to just going out and playing like, and doing what got me to that ranking in the first place. But that's all a part of the learning experience and all a part of, you know, what's going to continue to make me better. But it's one of those things you just have to learn and go with, because it's, you know, like I'm sure for you, there's been plenty of moments in your career and times where, you're like, man, if I would have had this over, or I would have done it differently, or the next time I get in this situation, I'm going to do it a little bit differently because of what happened in the past kind of thing. So the biggest thing for me was just being able to learn how to handle it and really not change anything because, you know, like the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So we're roughly the same age. So like I grew up watching Tiger, and like I obviously grew up watching Poppy. I get asked all the time now. It's like, oh, how cool is it to now do like a podcast with Poppy? How often do you get asked how cool is it to be taken under the wing of Tiger Woods and play with him and talk about like your relationship with him? Because it's not like a, like you guys are like friends. Like that must be crazy. And I'm sure to you, it's like, it's normal now. But like, how long did it take for you to get to that point where it's normal?
I mean, I still have moments. I mean, there's still times when it doesn't. I never could have dreamed of it because, like you said, I mean, in our age group, anybody that's, you know, in their mid to late 20s, like if you remotely liked golf, even if you didn't like golf, you knew who he was. But if you liked golf, I mean, you're obsessed with him. And I mean, just the things that he did. Or just stuff that, to be perfectly honest, will probably never be recreated again. And it's the reason why I am playing. It's the reason why I practice so much. I mean, it was just like, I wanted to do the things that he did, and then somehow to develop a relationship and friendship with him is, it is bizarre. I definitely never thought it would happen. I mean, I understood that there was a chance that I was going to get to be around him and meet him, but I think we have very similar personalities and very similar, obviously, interests in both wanting to play well. But, I mean, we're both just dudes who like to bullshit and just make fun of each other and just be sarcastic and you know, just kind of do what guys do. And it's just – and I think he has a lot of people and times around him that are always, you know, kind of bowing down to him, you know, what can I do for you? Whereas, like me, if he does something stupid, I'm going to tell him that. Or if he, you know, hits a bad shot, I'm going to tell him it was a bad shot because there's not very many people that, you know, that are out there that are willing to do that. So I think that's kind of how our friendship has gotten so close is that, you know, you're just like I am with my boys in high school. You know, I'm going to treat him the same way. He just unfortunately has a lot more bragging rights on me than I do on my buddies.
Love that.
You know what? We always, you know, when you have a relationship, we are really good player that have, you know, got to that type of level, you always get to be asked question about it. Like me, when I first got to Boston, everybody asked me a question about Manny Ramirez. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He was in a step ahead of me, and he was one of the greatest. So I'm pretty sure you know, in your young career, you get to be asked that question all the time. And so can we call him the Michael Jordan of golf?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's the same thing. It's not quite to like a Wayne Gretzky level, but he's one of those guys where you just look up his stats and you look up some of the stuff that he's done and you're like, no one's ever going to do this again. Or no one's going to win 9 tournaments in a row, or no one's going to win 7 plus times in 12 seasons, or it just, no one's going to make 160 straight cuts. Like it just, there's some stuff that is just absolutely out of control that he's done. And I mean, he's got my vote as being the Michael Jordan of golf, but I know I'm quite a bit behind, but I'd like to think that myself and some other guys have a lot of golf left to try to do something about it.
Yeah. You know, the athletes in general, you know, we work based on motivation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And when you have a guy that you can look up to, that caliber in your corner, is something that motivates you to try to get better every day. I'm pretty sure you guys had those conversations where he give you advice based on his experience, based on mm-hmm. the things that he had accomplished. And that do nothing but build up relationship, because I have been on the shoes before. You know, I have been able to have relationship with guys that they were really good and they were at the highest level of their sport, and they get to be a comfortable with conversation. You know what I'm saying? But one thing I want to ask you, Justin, at what age you start playing golf?
I mean, I was like 2. It was like as soon as I could walk. I grew up around it.
Two. At the age of 2, you know what I was doing?
What were you doing?
Sucking on my thumb. That's why I got the gap.
Yeah. He was ripping the heads off of dolls back then. Yeah, that's crazy, too. And you mentioned Michael Jordan. What was it Michael Jordan said that he sees himself in JT? Did you see that? Did you hear that?
I did, yeah.
What did you do? Don't be humble here. Give me the straight fucking answer. What was your reaction when you see Michael Jordan say, I can see some of myself in you?
I mean, it was crazy because, I mean, he lives down here. We play a fair amount of golf together, and he plays with a bunch of us guys. And, I mean, he likes playing with, you know, a handful of us because we like to talk shit to him. And, I mean, that's
he's a thrash talker, huh?
Oh, yeah. There's nobody better than him, and for good reason. But, so I don't know. I think – I mean, I got so much out of watching that documentary, The Last Dance, because, I was a huge, huge Kobe fan. I mean, I never got to meet him, but I was a massive Kobe fan. And I obviously am a big MJ fan because of knowing him and because of seeing his highlights. But I've never, like, actually, you know, watched any of his games, or I never saw any of that live. So that documentary for me was pretty eye-opening to actually hear what he had to say and hear some of the backstories. And it kind of motivated me because – sometimes you just have to not either come up with stuff to motivate yourself, but it is, any competitor knows that some things you do, it's not personal. It's just, you just want to win. And I think that's how the Ryder Cup is for me is, I mean, there's a lot of guys on that team that I'm really good friends with and I respect the hell out of all of them. But for 1 week, I don't really care. Like, I'm just going out and I just want to win my match and I'm going to be emotional. I'm going to get fired up. I'm probably going to do some things that they're not going to like, but if that means that it gives us a better chance to win the match, then so be it. And I'm guessing that that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah.
Justin, what's coming up next?
I got a couple of weeks off, and then I play a tournament in Vegas, the CJ Cup, it's called.
When is that?
It's in 3 weeks, two weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. So this is like somewhat called or considered my off season. I got like – 3 or 4 tournaments in the next couple months. We don't really have an off season in golf, but it's all good.
Yeah, you got to stay sharp. It's like in baseball, you know what I'm saying? When you are into season, you got to continue practicing and practicing and practicing. But it seems like in golf, you got to be a little bit of everything. Engineer, you know, you got to be good on math. Mm-hmm. You got to be great on numbers, like, because you guys need to like even in gravity, you got to be good about it because you need to know where the ball is going and everything.
Mm-hmm. I suck at golf.
You are?
Yeah, I suck.
I had a good drive,
though. Yeah.
My when I get in trouble is in my bunting game when I got to hit the ball from here to there.
Yeah. So then we can team up in the golf tournament. I got a good short game. I can't drive for shit. Yeah.
I got to bring Justin. He's always working, but I got to bring him in.
Yeah, next time.
Teach me some tricks.
Yeah.
Good teammates.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%. So, like, the 34 on your handle, are you a David Ortiz fan or are you a Red Sox fan or both?
Both. The 34 that I have in all of my social media handles is strictly because of that dude right there. Like, my aunt and uncle grew up in the Northeast, and my Uncle Bill was a huge Red Sox fan, and my cousins were, and it was just kind of one of those things that, for every birthday, every Christmas, like, he would never give me anything as a gift unless it was Red Sox. I mean, I had Red Sox blankets, Red Sox blanket or pillows. I had a jersey. I had a Nomar jersey. I had a Manny jersey. He took us to a doubleheader at old Yankee Stadium. I went to a game at Fenway and I watched David Wells get thrown out. That was incredible. him and Terry Francona got thrown out of a game. Like, it just, so when I was a kid in middle school, I was drawing pictures of Fenway Park. Like, I don't know what it was. We, growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, we don't have any professional sports teams, you know, the Reds and the Bengals or the Colts, like, they're the closest teams we had. And, I got to give all credit to my Uncle Bill for getting me to become a Red Sox and a big Poppy fan because, it stuck pretty well for me.
Outstanding. You know that I went to Kentucky once, to the Kentucky Derby.
It's the best, isn't it?
It was the most fun I had ever had. I even saw Sylvester Stallone got kicked out of this one room that they serve bourbon. They had this one room that people goes making a stop, and you got to keep on, you know, going around.
Yeah.
So he making a stop, and he was so much in love with this one bourbon, and he don't want to get out of the room.
Sylvester Stallone.
Hey, buddy. Yes.
He can get kicked out of places.
Well, it wasn't like they kick him out.
They're just like, can you please leave? You probably need to tone it down a little bit.
We got some other people coming in. Can you please? You know how it is. I mean, you don't want Rambo to be shooting your ass.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Getting mad and shit.
No.
But I had so much fun, and it was like a dream come true because I got so familiar. And matter of fact, I went to say hi to this one jockey that was, he was going to ride this one horse. And you know what? He told me, Papi, you know what? I'm going to win this for you. And he went and just whooped everybody's ass. That was crazy. But you grew up in Kentucky, right?
Yeah, in Louisville.
Yeah, in Louisville, right? Oh, and by the way, that's for the first company that made bats for the big league came out of from Louisville.
Okay,
Louisville Slugger. Yeah. So growing up in Kentucky, what was the type of thing that caught your attention at the most?
Man, that's a good question. It's a lot of horse fields, a lot of horse farms, stuff like that in Louisville. But I mean, they're big, big college sports town. I mean, they love their basketball in Kentucky. So I mean, I was a huge, huge college basketball. Like, I loved Louisville. I wasn't a Kentucky fan, so I was a big Cardinals fan and loved college hoops when I was in high school until I quickly went to college at Alabama, and then my shift went to football.
Love that.
Awesome.
We got to give a shout out to Whistle Pig, 100% rye.
Have you ever tried this, man?
I have. It's pretty good.
Yeah, boy, you need some of that.
Boy.
It's unbelievable. Mm. So you're a guy that you like to tweet out your goals. You're big on social media and everything, tweeting out your goals and everything. When your career is over and you consider it to be 100% completed, what does your top three look like?
I don't even think I could answer that because I've honestly never even really thought of like career goals because I just feel like there's so many things I could possibly achieve and I feel like that I can achieve. I'm kind of one of the people, it's like, you know, you shoot for the clouds. So if you miss, you hit mountains kind of thing. You know what I mean? I don't want to say, you know, I'd love to win 10 majors in my career and then I get hot these next 3 years or 4 years and I win 9 and then I'm at 10 majors and I have, you know, another 12 years of my career left. And it's like, well, now what kind of thing? I like to take it, you know, year by year and tournament by tournament and week by week, just to feel like, just to kind of focus on more of like the process kind of thing, because I feel like if I do all the things I can control over the course of the end of my career, I can do a lot of things, but I also understand that a lot of things can change and happen in this game and in this sport. So I know that doesn't really answer your question. I mean, there's a lot of things I want to achieve. I mean, you know, I want to win a lot of majors and be, you know, I just want to be known as a great ambassador and kind of person for the game of golf that kind of goes down in history and hopefully do a lot of great things for the sport too.
Poppy, I mean, I don't know that there's anything crazy right now to celebrate as it pertains to the Boston Red Sox. We're not doing too great. Yeah, I mean, like with Whistle Pig, I mean, I am a whiskey guy. I love going with the old fashioned, but you could just like sip it straight like that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, if I'm gonna make an old fashioned, it's gonna be perfect, but for this, we can just go straight Whistle Pig. You can get this at whistlepigwhiskey.com straight up. And we can cheers to maybe making the wild card. I remember when you
got
in the
Sox.
2003?
Put it together.
Yeah, they should have never gave Millar a microphone.
Pop some Whistle Pig.
Yeah.
Wow. When is the next PGA?
What's that? Next PGA?
Yeah.
The next major or next tournament?
Yeah, the next tournament.
Well, there's a tournament going on this week, but the next tournament I'll play is in, like I said, in Vegas a couple weeks. The next major's not until Augusta in April next year.
Where does that take place?
That's in April in Augusta, Georgia.
Georgia. And April is good for the Georgia weather. Don't go to Georgia right now.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
But April, the weather is nice, so I'm going to come and check up on my boy over there because I'm close.
You should. It's fun.
I got a question for both of you guys because baseball, I feel like golf also has the same, not really a problem, but it's a theme. It's a storyline where everyone talks about growing the game. And, like, you were doing it with, like, the bat flips and you were very flashy as a player. And now,
it's
like,
still flashy, bro.
Very. I mean, he smells really good. He smells amazing. I know you can't smell it through the Zoom call, but he's always bringing the heat. But in golf, it's the same thing. They talk about growing the game and how there is this young crop of players who are a little bit more colorful, and they like you, like with the beer thing that you were doing at the Ryder Cup. So, do you take it upon yourself to be more animated like that? Like, do you care about, like, making the game more appealing to younger fans? Because I feel like baseball and golf are both in this phase right now where there's a crop of players like Tatis that we just had on, where these guys are like, you know what? Like, this is how I play. Like, I'm not going to conform to how you want me to play. This is how I play, and either you like it or you don't.
For sure, for sure. And I think there's definitely a time and place. I mean, the only reason, you know, Berger and I were chugged beers on the first tee was to get the crowd riled up.
Yeah, but it works.
Exactly. We're doing that for one reason. You could look at it, we did it for our country. That's exactly
right. Yeah, for America.
But it's my big thing is it's just – I just want to be myself. I don't want to act and be anybody that I'm not. I think social media these days is so toxic and just – and it's just a place where people can feel like they can say and do anything they want, and you have no idea – if it's true, you have no idea if it's even factual or anything like that. And it's just, it's kind of turned into a place where if you get consumed by it, it can kind of change, at least I think it can change who I am. And it can also, you know, kind of ruin self-esteem. Whereas, like, there's no reason I should get affected by something, you know, one person said or some article that's written by someone I don't know about the game of golf or about me. Whereas, like, look, all I can do is the best I can. You know, it doesn't need to be documented. It doesn't need to be, written about, you know, if I want it to be, so be it. But it's like, look, at the end of the day, I'm still a 28-year-old and I just want to have fun with my life and I want to enjoy it, because if I don't, then there's no reason for me to even be playing golf, because if I'm not enjoying it, it's no fun.
Hobby. What hobby you like to have? Like, when you're not playing golf, what you like doing?
I don't like doing much. I really just like, I like relaxing and just, and hanging out. Cause I feel like, I mean, we travel 30 weeks of the year, I'd say. And I mean, that's Monday to Sunday every week and potentially more with other sponsor obligations and whatnot. So it's my time off. I like to do nothing. I like taking vacations. I mean, going to the beach or, you know, going somewhere in the Bahamas. I got some buddies down here in Florida who have boats. So go fishing. But man, I don't like really have any hobbies to where it's like, I'm just, you know, I got to go play pickleball or I got to go do this. It's just like when I'm done, I can sit on the couch for an entire day with the best of them. And I have no shame in that.
If there was like how Major League Baseball has the All-Star game and then they have the Home Run Derby is kind of like they're not a skills competition, but like we're going to put on. Yeah, like it's fun. What would golf's version of that be? Like if you had like a single skills competition in golf, like an All-Star type deal?
I mean, you got to think it'd be a long drive, a shot shaping contest, kind of like, you know, crazy spin around the green. I mean, stuff that people wouldn't usually get to see us do in a normal event. Like, you know, I might hit some different shots here and there, but I'm not going to hook a ball 120 yards just to hook it. But like, I can do it, but people wouldn't see that. You know, it's just like, you know, guys watch these guys hit homers however many, you know, 30, 40 times a season. But, you know, what happens when they just get a pitch, it's a little bit slower and they get in a certain rhythm and like watch how far they can hit it, watch how many they can hit. So it is a little bit different, but I would say it'd be something like that, like a long drive or just some kind of skills, shot shaping competition. Cause I think people would be pretty, pretty amazed by that.
Justin, you guys watch film, to prepare for a tournament, from some of the players, or that those type of things, because we do in baseball. Like for example, in baseball, if I like someone's mechanic, I check it out and I try to pick my best out of it. Is that how it works in golf too, also?
Sometimes. I actually like to watch, and this is kind of might sound crazy, but I like to watch a lot of highlights of myself, like tournaments when I'm in contention, because I like to see what my body language and my demeanor is like, because I feel like that's something that can really wear on opponents, is how you handle yourself out there. If you look like stuff doesn't affect you, if you kind of just have that swagger, that confidence when you're walking out there. And there might be times where I think it's good and I go back and watch it, if I've recorded it or something, and I look like an idiot out there, like, yeah, I can see why I got beat, because I didn't have that kind of swag or demeanor. But yeah, there's definitely motions and guys chipping or putting motions or full swings that I'll watch or see in video that I may try to implement, like you said, kind of like make your best version of that, because at the end of the day, our motion is what made us so good. But if you can get it a little bit better, that's obviously good too.
If there a player out there beside Tiger that you love his game, what that player will be? I'm gonna make it easy on you. Three top players that you love the game.
I'm gonna go. Are we Tiger included or excluded? Is he out?
You can throw Tiger in there.
All right, I'll put Tiger in there. John Rahm is insanely impressive. I mean, he does everything really well. DJ is really, really impressive too. I mean, his control with his irons, his wedge game, you know, he can get his putting going. He drives it so well. I mean, those.
I like DJ body language.
Yeah. Oh yeah. DJ, he's right here all the time.
You can really tell when shit is going south for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And he's a good person to watch. You know, I've watched videos of him before, and it's a situation where where it looks like he should be, you know, kind of going up and down like this, or he should be getting upset, but he doesn't. He just stays very even keel. And I think that's a reason. I mean, apart from the fact he's freakishly talented, but it definitely helps with the amount of tournaments and things he's done, because he just stays even demeanor all the time.
He got to be good at playing poker because he's hard to read.
Yeah.
It's almost that time of the year again. When the postseason comes back, I'm like a nervous dip guy. Mm. Like I need to, like, you know how people like bite their nails or whatever, they chew gum.
Mm-hmm.
I dip and I choose Black Buffalo. I go tobacco free, still has the nicotine. They do have options where they don't have any nicotine. They do have the pouches and all that. But you know how many times I sat in front of a TV watching you in the postseason, just nervous dipping the entire time?
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta do what you gotta do. And that's why I choose Black Buffalo. You can go to blackbuffalo.com, use the promo code BIGPOPPY, and that'll get you 20% off your first purchase.
20% off.
20%! It's a hell of a deal.
That is crazy.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Gotta give a shout out to Black Buffalo real quick. I mean, if you're out there playing 18 holes and you're still chewing tobacco, then switch to Black Buffalo. It's tobacco free and it's still got the nicotine as well. And they're all about charging ahead. And the mental game is probably what took me out of golf. Because I'm a fucking lunatic. And if I hit a bad shot, that's it. It doesn't matter if it's the second hole and we still have the rest of the day to go. Like, I have taken myself out of the game. How difficult is it for you? Is it something that you needed mentorship to learn the mental aspect of golf? And if you have a bad shot, to be able to not let that ruin the rest of the hole, the rest of the day? Like, how did you shape your mental game?
I mean, just like anything, it kind of comes with time. You learn from it. I think watching other guys and playing with guys like Tiger, playing with guys like DJ, Rory, I mean, guys that stuff doesn't affect them. I think for me, I mean, when I first got on tour, I was 22 or 23 years old. So, I mean, I still had some maturing to do. I was still young enough to where, you know, I hadn't fully grown up and I understood that. And I wasn't trying to fight it or wasn't in denial. It just was kind of a part of my learning process and growing up, to be perfectly honest. So I think just going through failures and when I get done with the round, get done with the tournament, try to figure out why did it go that way and how could I have handled it differently. And you know, like I said earlier about watching old video or watching other stuff to see how myself and others react. But I mean, at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do about what's already happened. The only thing you can control is where you're at that moment. You know, you can't look forward, can't look backward. You know, I'm sure it's, you know, I hate to try to keep comparing, but you know, you look at a pitcher that's probably, you know, he's got a one run lead going into the ninth, and he just thinks all I need is three more outs, as opposed to just, he's got to worry about that first out first before he can worry about the second one and then worry about the third. And I think it's kind of similar in that sense in golf, is that if you start worrying about either what's happened in the past or start thinking about what could potentially happen and going forward, then you're screwed. You got no chance.
Justin, how you can control your emotions and patience while you play golf? Because that's my biggest problem when I play golf. If I go to the wrong side of the hole when I hit the ball, I start panicking. I start, you know, being impatient. How can you control that? How can you stay stable even when things are not going the way you expect?
I mean, it's different for everybody. I mean, at the end of the day, there's some people that don't really react to it, but kind of like I was saying earlier about being yourself. I mean, you know, I'm going to react differently than DJ is going to react, or than John Rahm's going to react. You know, everyone kind of goes about it differently, but it's kind of like my dad's always said, is like, it doesn't, as long as it doesn't affect your next shot, what you do is fine. You know, if you feel like you need to have a 5 or 10 second, like, little rampage inside to yourself or to your caddy or whatever it is, like, obviously you don't want to say anything stupid or be disrespectful, but it's to the point of where you feel like you need to get something out. If that's what you got to do, so be it. And as long as it's not affecting your next shot, that's fine. Cause it is, you don't want to hold stuff in. At the same time, you don't want to let it all out. You want to save as much energy as you can without, you know, without just kind of wearing yourself out before you're even hit a couple shots, just from getting pissed off at previous ones.
Having a good caddy is mandatory in golf, right? Because when I play golf in the Dominican Republic, my caddy is always hangover. He always, I think I'm the caddy and he's the one playing.
Yeah, he's out there.
He always got the hangover. Having a good caddy is like, it's like part of being a good golf player, seems mm-hmm. like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very important. I mean, it's a team deal out there. You know, it's every decision and everything that's decided and made out there is done between the both of you. And there's some that are more involved than others, but I mean, you know, I spend more time with my caddy than anybody else. You know, as crazy it is, anybody else in my life. I mean, more than my parents, more than my girlfriend, more than any of my friends, like, this is the person that I'm with. Like I said, 22 to 24, 6 weeks a year, 7 days a week, you know, might spend some time with them in some off season as well. Like, it's just, it's, you have to have a great relationship, but you also, we understand that we know how to separate it between a work relationship and a friendship, and also how to communicate to make each other better and whatever it might be. So, you know, everybody's player caddy relationships is different. And I think, at the end of the day, you just have to kind of find what works for you. But definitely getting one that's not hungover is a good start.
Yeah. Yeah. Caddies are like Doug Mirabelli to Tim Wakefield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, we appreciate you taking the time to do this. The last question, we'll do something different. He's a big fan of yours. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything that you would like to ask to David?
I mean, I was curious, like, when you were asking me about guys, you know, like, talking about Tiger, I mean, like, was Manny your person, or like, who were the guys that you leaned on to, for advice, for whether it was mentally or physically or your form or whatever it was, both, you know, in the clutch moments and whatever, because obviously you're one of the most clutch players of all time. So I just, you know, who were your people?
Manny was very important at some point in my career, because Manny wasn't the type of guy that say much.
Yeah.
And Manny was the type of guy that he was on his own planet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, seriously, he was on his own planet. But being hungry and wanting to be good, you got to do your homework. In baseball, in some other sport, that's exactly how it works. You need to be hand in hand with those type of guys to accomplish whatever your goal is. So Manny, once I got to the Red Sox, I wanna pick his brains out based on mechanic and mindset. And like I say, Manny don't say much, but he was the type of guy that he don't want nobody to see him working. He wants you to think that he was lazy.
Yeah.
And then he come in and beat you. That's the way he was. And like I say, I learned so many things with him. I even learned how to line up myself when it comes down to mechanic with Manny, because Manny had one of the most beautiful baseball mechanic when it comes down to hit. But my guy, when it comes down to advice and get to know down the road about how to prepare my mind mentality-wise, and this is the day still that he is still giving me advice, was Pedro, you know what I'm saying? I also had a guy like Jason Veritek, who was really good to me. Tink Wakefield, Mike Timlin. I can continue mentioning guys that they were really good to me. And they give me so many, they share so many experience with me, you know what I'm saying? Kurt Schilling, like I play with so many guys that for some reason they like me and they want me to do well. And we were a team that we cared about each other, you know what I'm saying? Johnny Damon, Trot Nixon, like I picked something out of every single one of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But my guy to go to, even in still now, was Pedro, because Pedro is a guy who he's so mature, he's so humble. He won. Pedro is the type of guy that he wouldn't even, you know, like we had a conversation the other day, and when we were doing ESPN baseball tonight, the other day on air, you know that Pedro, when he was on that mount, he wanted to dominate. Mm-hmm. That's why he did his whole career. And at some point, we're talking about when Pedro say that he would hit, he would drill Babe Ruth in the ass, and he would come back. Yeah, remember that? About it. Pedro wasn't the type of guy that he want to hit anyone in the head. No, Pedro wasn't out there trying to do any of that, because he know how dangerous that was. But the thing is that when you let that ball go, you can control that into a certain point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. After that, you know, whatever happened. But Pedro is the nicest human being that I have ever met in my life. He was a competitor. He was a guy that want to be the best out there. But at the same time, Pedro don't care who you play for. If he had to sit down and give you an advice and talk to you about how to get better in your game, he would do that for you, because he did it for me when I was playing in Minnesota. And I wasn't even a pitcher. I was a position player.
Yeah.
And he sit down for hours to talk to me about how to approach things, how to do. And that's the minute that happened, he began to be my hero, because you never see pitcher and position player interacting at that level. Mm-hmm. But for us, that's why he always going to be who he is, because of it, because of the way he handled himself with all of us. You know what I'm saying? So he was he's my guy to go to.
That's awesome.
Love that. All right. Justin Thomas, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Hope you got to enjoy talking to your hero. I still have to pinch myself when he walks in the room and remembers my fucking name. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean you know my name? He played with fucking Dustin Pedroia for 10 years and didn't know his name. And I was like, how do you know my name? So it's very cool, but we appreciate you taking the time, man.
Thank you all for having me on. I appreciate it.
Go back to enjoy your heat, man.
You got it. You got it.
Good luck. And see you when I see you.
We'll see y'all down the road.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.